We love hearing about groundbreaking research here on RNIB Connect Radio, and today we have a particularly exciting development that we'd like to find out more about, as the team at Australia's Monash University is currently working on a very special bionic eye that could see some major changes in how we treat sight loss. And to tell us more about it is professor at Monash University's Department of Electrical and Computer Systems and Engineering, Professor Arthur Lowry. Hello.
Hello.
Let's chat about what you know a lot about, which is the research. And it's not the first bionic eye that is being worked on around the world. What makes this one different?
That's true. There have been bionic eyes in the 1960s. In fact, there was a lot of work in Cambridge University by Giles Brindley, but it wasn't a very practical device because it required a large amount of electronics around the head, a little like an old 1950s hairdryer. But it was actually rather good because it was a wireless device, so that the signals were transmitted through the skin and the skull using a wireless transmission. And that's what we've aimed to do as well. There are devices in the 1990s which were connectors on the head, so like about the size of your thumb, but stainless steel sticking out of the people's heads, and that would connect by an umbilical cord to a computer. So our aim has always been to have a wireless device so that you can take the headgear off at night and nobody would be the wiser. Our device is different in that we've decided to tile the brain, if you like, with little electronics packages. And the advantage here is that we can place one or more of these tiles on the brain's surface. And each one has a 43 electrodes which stick into the brain and fool it into thinking that it's perceiving flashes of light, like pixels or spots of light. And with these spots of light, we can make crude pictures in the mind's eye.
So would this work for any sight condition?
Our aim is to treat the majority of sight conditions. So people, I've just got an email just now from India, where someone was hit by a trolley and lost both their eyeballs. So anything that obviously removes your eyeballs, but also diseases of the optic nerve, which cut the transmission of signals to really the back of the brain. So anything that's affected the visual system before the back of the brain, we should be able to treat.
So this has been in development for quite some years, but where are you in trials right now? Are you trialing on humans yet, or are you still in the first stages?
Yes, well, we did get permission to trial on humans a couple of years ago, but what we've realized is there are very tight regulations around this, and that's good. What we need to do is set up a manufacturing process. We have a prototype process, but we want a process that we can repeat so that once we have trialed the devices, we're able to use those trial results to get regulatory approval on the same device. We will make forever more.
And it's not just sight loss. You could actually use your work for potentially other conditions.
Yes. So we're thinking about people with spinal cord injury that have lost the use of their upper limbs, their arms. And we're working with a group in Pittsburgh who have animated a robot arm using people's brain waves, if you like, using a recording device into the brain, but also want to provide sensory feedback so that there'll be touch as well. We're going to provide our stimulating technology to restore a sense of touch.
So, thinking about this in simple terms, you're creating a connection between the brain, and it would be a sort of headset that you would wear to, I guess, get an image almost like a camera. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Everything starts with a camera. It usually then has a computer processor, like a mobile phone size, a device which has the battery in it, which is important, but also is able to take the very detailed image that a camera can take and boil it down into a very crude image, like a radar display of dots. That we can then present to the brain via these electrodes. The headset also has a transmitter on it at the back of the head, which sends energy and the data to the implants.
And are there any ethical concerns when it comes to this technology? Because obviously you are looking at potentially adding a connection to the brain, so obviously you have to attach something to it quite permanently.
Yes, well, the device has to last a lifetime, which is, can be extremely long, fortunately. So there's a lot of design and testing has to go into the device. There's also a lot of ethicists sort of thinking what might happen in the future, that you might be able to read people's memories. I don't think that'll happen. They're encoded right across the brain, let's say, so the chances of getting any memory at all just by monitoring a single part of the brain is very difficult. And also, they're thinking about mind control. And again, I think this is rather overblown that yes, we can stimulate into a well-known region of the brain where we understand what it does, like the visual cortex. But we're not actually putting any ideas into people's heads. We're putting patterns of light, which the brain can interpret just like any other image that it may see.
Is there a timeline as such for when this could be used commercially, perhaps in the future?
Yes, I believe that's somewhere around 8 years' time. You need to do trials in humans. You need to manufacture the device, get ethical approval for that, of course, but also then get regulatory approval and train surgical teams to implant this device. So it does take time, as does any medical device or drug or innovation.
That's such a fascinating technology, and I can't wait to see where it's going to be in the next few years. But in the meantime, Professor Arthur Lowry from Monash University, thank you so much for speaking with us today on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's a pleasure, Paulina. Thank you.